Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carrie Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sunny's Barbecue, and by Everbank.
Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith
begins right now.
And we welcome you in, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth, following the Jaguars' 35-17 victory over the Cowboys at the Taj Mahal in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Cole Pepper here, Vic Ketchman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com there.
Yes, I am.
And the general manager, Gene Smith, over there.
It's great to be here, Cole and Vic and Joe.
And Joe over there, of course, as always.
Forget Joe.
Well, that's kind of how you like to see it all come together, isn't it?
Yeah, we really did a number of good things in all three phases, offensively and defensively in particular. We definitely took a step this past weekend against a team right now that's a talented team, but a team that's out of sorts.
Yeah, I would say that one of the phrases I've heard for teams like Dallas is a donut team. You look at the skill position players, and they've got a lot of guys on the perimeter who are big name guys. But boy, in terms of the trenches, no doubt who won the battle of the trenches yesterday. And one of the plays, maybe the big play of the game, I think certainly the big play of the game, that goal line stand down there on fourth down. I don't know if our listeners have had a chance to take a look at a replay of that, but well, you had a lot of guys doing some good things, and most notably, Tyson Alualu looked like a bowling ball knocking down the pins in there as opened the way up for Darryl Smith coming to make a tackle on the goal line stand.
He made an outstanding play. He buckled the offensive guard into the pulling guard. So he basically took two players out of the play and then forced the back to make a cut, which enabled pursuit to close. And then Darryl, who's probably as strong a tackler as we have, did a nice job with assistance from a few other defensive players of keeping the back out of the end zone.
And that goal line stand, by the way, would not have happened, I want to point out, with a guy who I think may have had as good a game as we've ever seen him have, and that's Derek Cox. On the second down play before that, he was getting blocked by a wide receiver, and as Kitna came on the scramble, basically reached out, warded off the tackler, the blocker, made a tackle with one hand, and set up the third and fourth down stops.
Cole, it was an excellent eye for scouting on your part, because I don't know if everybody could truly appreciate what he did to prevent the touchdown. He got off a big receiver and made a tackle on a quarterback with tremendous will to get the ball into the end zone. And I take my hat off to Derek on that particular play. He did have the two interceptions. He had a chance for a third one in the end zone. He was in great position on the receiver, and the receiver ended up tipping the ball out of his hands. He could have had three interceptions on the day.
Before I ask my question, I will comment further on that.
Yeah, please.
It also helped that Kitten is a 38-year-old man who was afraid to cut it back inside.
They go easy on 38-year-old man, all right?
He was really, I mean, that was a really cowardly run. Anyhow, Gino, your quarterback in his four wins has a passer rating of almost 140, and in his four losses has a passer rating of 34. Please shed some light on this. Please give us some kind of explanation of why David is feast or famine.
Well, I think, as with all quarterbacks, if you allow the quarterback to set his feet to throw, meaning you keep him clean through your running game, which enables you to have better pass protection up front, your quarterback's going to be efficient. I don't think it's unique to the Jaguars. I think it's unique to every team in the league that throws the ball efficiently.
So he is a product of his pass protection?
Well, I think he's a product of the fact that he does have an NFL starter skill set that when allowed to set his feet to throw, he can be very good.
Given open receivers and pass and time to throw, he can be a
almost perfect.
He can be a 140 passer who has thrown 12 touchdown passes and one interception, 12-1 in his four wins. Whereas in his four losses, when he hasn't had time to throw, he didn't have time to throw against San Diego. Certainly didn't have time to throw against Philadelphia. didn't have much time to throw against Tennessee. Is that right? And the other one, Kansas City. Well, no, no, it wasn't Kansas City. Who's the? Well, no.
No, those were the three starts.
Yeah. Had. Okay. I'm sorry. In his three losses. Yeah. In his three losses, he's got six interceptions and one touchdown pass. So clearly, then, it's the pass protection.
If you base it off this year with David, I think it's very clear that when he's been well protected, he's played very efficiently at the quarterback spot.
What do you mean by if you base it on this year?
Well, that's what we're talking about. Vic's saying
4 versus 3.
Okay, you're right. Talking about based on those numbers.
Right. Yeah. And I think if you even go back to 2007, I mean, we had a good running game. He was well protected because of it, and mm-hmm. he was very efficient and had great respect for the football, and we won a lot of games.
Okay, so I'm assuming that it looks like Eugene Monroe is in ascent. It appears that he's playing better and better. He's certainly better at this point this year than he was at this point a year ago, right? Leaps and bounds better?
Yes. I think what people got to understand now, he's faced a good menu of pass rushers. And yesterday, the guy who stuck out for the Dallas Cowboys, maybe their best defensive player in the game, was Anthony Spencer, mm-hmm. number 93, the guy that plays opposite of DeMarcus Ware.
So who did Monroe get most of the day, Spencer or Ware?
Ware, but they moved them both around. Mm-hmm. But Ware plays primarily right outside linebacker.
Right, exactly. So let's look at this line going forward. You've got a left tackle. That's your premier blocker there. That's your premier David Garrard pass protector, who looks like he's getting it and getting better on a consistent basis?
Yeah, I think where he's gotten into trouble is his footwork. There's times when Eugene has overset, mm-hmm. okay? And I think when he is a disciplined vertical set guy and he understands the type of rusher he's going against, which young players got to get a book on the pass rushers that they're going to be facing, he'll continue to progress. Mm-hmm. I think he'll tell you he can still be better in the run game, although he made a couple key blocks at the second level to spring a couple of our runs yesterday in the game. But Eugene's got a lot of areas that he can improve, but I think it starts with his footwork. When his footwork's clean, he pass protects better. And when he pass protects better, usually against the better pass rushers on the opposing teams, certainly David would play better.
It would logically follow then that since we expect the offensive line to get better as the season goes on, we can expect the David Garrard's low watermarks to be higher? I mean, for him to play better too?
I would think so. I mean, again, quarterbacks in the NFL that have NFL skill sets, if you allow them to set their feet to throw, they're going to be efficient. I think what we've done defensively now, if we want to talk a little bit about that side of the ball, we have forced quarterbacks to get off the spot where they're not able to set their feet to throw as much, or we got to move and then reset their feet to throw. And that's why we've been a little bit more successful, you know, in some of the cases of getting off the field like yesterday, because of our ability to do that.
And by the way, you had six first-year or second-year players in your starting defensive lineup yesterday. Did you know that?
Yes.
It's rather extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, it's good to see some of the young players out there with tremendous energy, and I think every snap they get is experience that's going to benefit us down the stretch.
Vic was hinting around at a question, maybe setting up a question that I think is the significant one to ask here as we enter the bye week with the Jaguars at 4-4, and we'll get to that. Plus more from the general manager, Gene Smith. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so via Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. Just look at the long list there under the Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith column, and you can post your question. The best ones will get on the air. Jaguars Flex Packs now available. Select any three of the remaining home games. Build your own three-game mini season ticket. Flex Pack seats start at just $45 per game. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com to create your own Flex Pack today. And visit Sports Mania for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience, a limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Texans game. Register for free at your closest Sports Mania in Jacksonville. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutta, right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
They go with two backs, three tight ends, need less than a yard. Getting under center, takes it, hands it off, and he runs into his own man. He didn't get in. Barber's still fighting. Did he get in? I don't think he got in. The Jaguars say he didn't get in. He didn't get in. They spotted it shy of the goal line. What a stand by the Jaguars defense.
What a stop. And why in the world would you do a handoff?
He ran into.
Holy cow.
He ran into Barber, and Barber couldn't get up ahead of steam.
That was the goal line stand yesterday, part of the Jaguars' 35-17 victory over the Cowboys. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Presented by Sutta. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. At the bye week, the Jaguars are a fairly healthy outfit. The Don Carey injury was the scary one yesterday. Anytime you see a guy, you know, down on the ground and not want to move neck and shoulder and everything, but he was tweeting after the game and talking, walking around the locker and everything. Appears to be fine with him. Vic, am I missing any other key injuries here from yesterday's
ball game? Tyson Alualu had some kind of a knee, and it looks like it's okay, but the only thing that concerns me about that is he hurt the good knee. You know,
and then they were wrapping his ankle afterwards.
Can you tell us anything about that, or is this off limits, medical stuff?
Well, Jack will address it. The thing about Tyson, this will be good for him, the bye week, and a number of other players who have some things they're playing through right now. But does he have a major injury concern? No.
Good.
All right. Well, one of the Facebook posters, one of the listeners, wanting to know about the situation at safety with Courtney Green and Don Carey. And you've now kind of gone to the, all right, let's go with these guys and see what happens. Since that decision, how they played?
They took a step this week over last week. And Don really took a step last week from the first half to the second half. Courtney Green's been really consistent the last 2 weeks. And he was a tempo setter versus the run yesterday. I thought both of them played good yesterday. Don had a play where he had a missed tackle in the box area where he came up very aggressively. And then there was a play where he got hurt where Jason Witten made a nice catch on the ball between our safeties. But I again, thought both players took a step and gave us continuity on the back end where we weren't giving up big plays.
All right, let me set Vic up for this question that I think he was leading to or at least hinting at earlier. And now at the bye week, which is right smack dab in the middle of the season, 4-4, it's a great halfway point to sort of assess things. Certainly we in the media love to do this at this point. Vic, you were talking about David Garrard having the 140 quarterback rating in the wins and the dismal quarterback rating in the losses. And the question sort of is, based on what you've seen with all the young players on defense and everything else, I think where you're going is the best yet to come this year.
Well, yeah, that for sure. But it starts with the quarterback, because you are what your quarterback is. And that's the way it is around the league right now. So it starts with David Garrard. And what we've seen here is a guy that appears to have the stuff to be a playoff contending quarterback. Now, we've sort of talked about that. We've sort of established, Gene has established that he has that kind of a skill set. Let's go to the supporting cast. Is the supporting cast far enough along? And as I said, there were six players in the starting lineup on defense yesterday who are either first and second year players. I'll go through those: Austin Lane, Terrence Knighton, Derek Cox, Tyson Alualu, Courtney Green, and Don Carey. And you've got Eugene Monroe, a second-year player on offense, and Mike Thomas, a second-year player on offense. And I think that's all you got on offense. So you got eight guys total. Is the supporting cast far enough along in its development to make a run at the playoffs?
Well, I think you take it one game at a time. This was very encouraging. in how we played on the road, because Dallas, again, is a talented team, and for whatever reason, they're just not playing very good football right now. And the one thing about their football team, they struggled some in the secondary, and I think we took advantage of, mm-hmm. of some of their struggles, and David and our receiving corps did a nice job of making some plays that enabled us, you know, to score a good number of points. And so anytime you can score over 24, you got a chance to win. If you can hold a team at this level, 17 or under, you got a chance to win, and we did both.
Derek Harvey got benched. Mincy got hurt. Austin Lane started at left end. How'd he do?
He did a good job. And Austin is kind of a hard-charging left end, and then Larry Hart came in. And Larry was a half step away from a couple sacks. So Larry, the last 2 weeks, has taken a step in his sub rushes of giving us some edge pressure that we'll need down the stretch.
Is it time to plant those young players to put them in the lineup and let them go? I mean, you've played Harvey for now several years. It does not appear that that is going to blossom. It's not going to bear fruit. Those are my words. Is it time to find out if Austin Lane and Larry Hart can bear fruit?
Well, I think we are trying to do that. You know, Derek Harvey is not like he's completely out of the picture. I mean, he did come in and give us some quality snaps in a backup role. And if he can do that down the stretch, he's going to help this team win games. But I do think we'd like to see a little bit more of some of those young guys to see what they can do to establish themselves in the league.
One thing Austin Lane did that I liked yesterday early in the game is, I think it was the second play of the game, he got creased for a 7-yard gain. The guy ran right through where he was supposed to be. He screwed up. And he came back a couple plays later and made a tackle for a loss. And, you know, that's a rookie showing you the two extremes. But when you can see that a guy isn't going to go in the tank after he's made a bad play, I think it says something. Do I have that right? Do you remember the two plays I'm talking about?
Well, I do. But the one play that he got the tackle for the loss, he was actually angling into the C gap, mm-hmm. and the ball bounced outside of the C gap, and he shed the tight end and made the play on the running back for a 1-yard loss. So he didn't concede to being blocked down on when he was pinching. He played back across the block and made the play on the running back. That was an outstanding play.
I thought so too.
When you analyze these performances, how much of a sliding scale do you use based on the opposition? You mentioned Dallas is a team that's had some trouble. Jaguars were able to take advantage of some of those weaknesses. Plus, just mentally, I mean, this is a team that looked like they didn't have it all going in the same direction motivation-wise and everything else in the second half. How much do you, when you analyze players and scout players, do you put a qualifier on it based on the opposition?
Well, you take it into consideration, but you can't hold it against the player. It's just like in college scouting. You want to scout the player and not the school. And I think when you're looking at guys in the NFL, you certainly look at their matchups, and you take that into consideration. But if a guy's winning in contested situations on a consistent basis, or if you're playing against an NFL secondary and you're throwing the ball very efficiently, even if that secondary is struggling some, you want to see the quarterback, you want to see the receivers run good routes, you want to see good balls being thrown, and you want to see them execute. And I thought we did that at a high level yesterday on offense.
General Manager Gene Smith, when we come back, I will utter the name Randy Moss and see what we get. Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline, you get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Lewis Miller, the tight end, to right. David under Bradmeister, has Maurice behind him, takes the snap, drops the throw, pressure coming, plants, turns, and fires the ball. He's looking for Mercedes Lewis. He's got it at the 10, breaks a tackle, he's in the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Mercedes Lewis continues his big year. 7 touchdowns now for the Jaguars tight end. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. When the Jaguars win, we all win at Sonny's Real Fit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Along with Vic Ketchman, Cole Pepper here, and the general manager, Gene Smith. My segue from the Sonny's ad. You got no barbecue in Kansas City last week. You go to another barbecue hotspot in Dallas. You're a big barbecue guy. Did you get any barbecue this week? Brisket? Anything?
I did have some barbecue.
All right.
Texas is the best state for barbecue.
See, it works out a lot better. I think we've seen the difference. If you had grabbed some Kansas City barbecue, outcome could have been totally different. Obviously, that's I can't tell you how many people think what they eat on game day affects what happens on the field. All right, Randy Moss. Among the Facebook posts, about half of them have something to say about Randy Moss. Vic probably has his email inbox on Ask Vic filling up. Earlier this today, the report was that Moss was going to be released, waived, by the Minnesota Vikings. Most recently, now that it hasn't actually happened, which doesn't mean it won't happen soon.
let me take it from here.
All right, go for it.
He's not allowed to talk about this because he's not on the wire yet. So I'll make it real simple. If you're going to sign Randy Moss, smile.
That's a grimace.
Ooh,
that was cold.
That was cold, man. Forget it, folks.
At this point of the year.
Now he's smiling.
at this point of the year, can you add somebody who can make a legitimate impact to the team via the waiver wire?
It's rare to do that. You hope that you can field a competitive team week in and week out. You start losing frontline players, that's a difficult task. And as you well know, with the length of the NFL season, the age of the players, the teams that are able to stay healthy down the stretch and certainly get hot, have a chance to get in the playoffs and ascend. So that's a rare task, Cole, to do that.
What would have to happen for you to have interest in a guy on the bad side of 30 at this point in the year?
Well, there are some positions where you can still play well after the age of 30. We try to certainly bring in players not just to win, next week, but, to win throughout the end of the season and hopefully guys that will be a part of us into next season. But you're not always able to do that. There are situations where you got to have somebody in that can fill a role because you do have an injury and they're the best option. But my goal is to always look at the waiver wire and try to see if we can upgrade our football team at any point in time throughout the year, not just during the season.
We're not going to have to wait long. We're going to get answers quickly because after this bye week, your first game back in the second half of the season is here against Houston. So, I mean, right away, if Houston wins tonight, you will be facing – is that correct? No, not necessarily. But you could be facing the division leader.
If they win tonight, if they beat Houston tonight, or beat Indy tonight.
Yeah.
Yep.
You could be facing the division winner in your first game back. I mean, your butt could be on the line right away. I mean, any chance you would have at winning the division title it would be on the line, right? And, it'd almost be a must-win game to have any chance of winning the division title. In the first game back in the second half of the season. So, I think we're going to get answers very quickly. But the first two games of the second half of the season are here at Everbank Field, Houston and Cleveland. The formula is there to get on a roll. Big win yesterday, a week off, come back, home game. You could, if you got to 6-4, and I understand that's all supposition, but if you got to 6-4, who knows? And with a young team, when a team is improving, that means obviously that it's always going to be better. It's you're going to get a better performance than you got in the last game. So I think I think he got a shot. I really believe that. But it's all in David Garrard. He's got to stay upright. He's obviously has to stay healthy. But more than that, he has to be given time to throw. That's the one thing we know for sure. Your season, your whatever chance you have of contending for the playoffs is probably going to be determined by your offensive line.
Well, I think that's a big part of it for sure. We got to do a lot of things well, okay? I thought our defense took a step. I mean, we did a good job in our run defense against the Cowboys. And then I do think there's some elements of our football team, our coaching staff could point out where we can clearly get better. So although this was a very good win on the road against a talented team who's not playing real well right now, we still have a lot of things that we can do better.
There's something in this that I think we've all missed, and that includes myself. You know, that's a big building you played in yesterday. That's a big star on that helmet. That's a big mystique. That's the Dallas Cowboys. That's new Dallas Cowboys Stadium. I mean, there's a lot of mystique that these guys didn't buckle under. The game and the place and the team they were facing was not too big for them. And they didn't even have to warm to the task. They came flying right out of the blocks. They dominated stem to stern. And that says something to me. I mean, I've seen a lot of good young football teams. They get a little shaky. They got to feel their way around when they go up against these teams with the mystique. And there are, you know, the Packers, the Steelers, the Cowboys. I mean, there's teams that have that mystique, and they can whip you for a little, you know, for a little while, or even maybe the whole while, just on name alone. And that wasn't the case yesterday. And that, I got to tell you, that kind of surprised me, because I would have thought that a young football team would have spent a lot of time looking around at their surroundings yesterday, and they didn't.
No, I thought we did a good job, too, responding to some adversity, especially early in the game. And
yeah, they did get down 3-0.
Well, the situation with David. I mean, the ball comes out. They recover the fumble.
That's right.
We took points off the board. I mean, Dallas has an explosive element to them, okay? Even though Kitna was the starter in the game, you could say, well, they're playing with the backup. Well, you know, Tony was 1-5 with the team, Romo. So I think their team felt, with the skill set they have on offense, that even if they were down by a couple of touchdowns, they thought they could get back into it. But in the second half, things started to snowball, and our defense did some very good things, and we got ourselves a good road win.
Let me ask you, you're looking at me as if I'm
about
waiting. I was just say, looking around the league here, there were some wild scores yesterday. I mean, you had 9-0 with the Packers. You had the Rams beat the Panthers 20-10. I mean, a lot of offenses that just didn't get going. And sometimes it seems like you have that in the course of the week. And this is stepping aside from the Jags specifically. But are we at a point in the season where some teams here over the next couple weeks, does the wall exist? Are teams going to hit something? Or as the weather changes, are you expecting things to change? Is the tempo or tenor of football going to change now that we get in the second half of the season?
I hope it changes for the better. I hope we see more of what we did in Dallas. Can that happen? Yes. There's some teams, Cole, as the year goes on and they start having some injuries, you'll see maybe some playmaking not taking an active role in their offense, or maybe even on the defensive side. It's difficult when you lose frontline players to continue to compete at a high level. Then I think the other thing is there's some young teams that continue to ascend and improve, and they do some great things, and then there's some teams that'll level off. Like you said, that'll hit the wall. And as long as you got enough veteran presence on your team to help those young players through some of the difficult times and help to prevent your team from hitting the wall, then I think you got a chance.
All right, that's the general manager, Gene Smith. More when we come back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth. Reminds you to vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for details. Back with more with the general manager, Gene Smith, the senior editor, Vic Ketchman, and me, Cole Pepper. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Third 12, though, with the 15.
David in the shotgun. Slides a man in motion. Pressure coming. Sets up the screen. It's caught. Mike Thomas with room. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Mike Thomas leaps for the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. With the Jaguars lead 20-3.
Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth. Hey, welcome to Teal Town. 3 hours prior to every Jaguars home game, check out Teal Town. Live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including $2 draft beers. Admission free with no game ticket required. Teal Town, just south of the Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field, and you'll have a chance starting 2 weeks from yesterday in back-to-back weeks to come by and check out Teal Town as the Jaguars are home against the Houston Texans and then the Cleveland Browns the next 2 weeks. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth, continues. The one guy on offense who has kind of been overlooked in our conversation today has been Mike Sims-Walker, who, you know, well chronicled that his best statistical games this year had not come during Jaguars wins. And, boy, he had a big game, and it seemed like he was open on that slant whenever David Garrard wanted to go to him.
Yeah, Mike certainly had his best game of the year, and David did a nice job of getting him the ball. It was a good day all the way around on offense.
We are closing in here. We mentioned here with the bye week. What's the bye week mean for scouting department? How do you guys use this week?
Well, from our end, there's a lot of college film coming in now, and there's certainly a lot of college games. And then typically what we try to do is continue to evaluate our own football team. So we'll be practicing, you know, so the pro staff will be working with our team in that regard, and the college scouts will be continuing to do their business.
You starting to formulate any opinions on college guys at this point, or is it still fact-finding?
Well, I mean, it's evaluation, and I guess you call it fact-finding. We try to do a lot of research in their backgrounds, mm-hmm. but it's just the early stages of a tremendous process to get the draft day, but this is the most meaningful time of the year because these are padded exposures to practices and the games.
In other words, if I asked you right now, and I won't on the air because I know you wouldn't do it, but if I asked you to write down your projection, your top 30 guys right now, and how you think they'll come out in April, how close do you think you'd be?
Well, I think we'd be close. The one thing that we don't have enough work on yet is the medical, and mm-hmm. then certainly there's more character work that needs to be done, but just based off playability, we'd be fairly accurate.
We're halfway through the college season. Can we talk about the talk some college football? You okay with that? Or
sure.
I don't want to give away any of your trade secrets, but, I mean, this is a town that loves college football, and the question that I'm getting a lot of course, is quarterbacks, because it's supposed to be a great draft next year. What's the crop look like? I know we've talked about this recently, but I'd like to talk about it a little more. Andrew Luck, Jake Locker, are those the top two guys?
Those are two of the top two guys, yes.
Ponder's had an elbow or shoulder or something. Yeah. What do you know what's up there? I mean, is that an injury that's going to hurt him or something that should be healed by combine time?
Well, I think it'd be healed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unfortunate that some of these guys, whether it's, again, injuries or supporting cast or whatever it may be, some guys may not be having the years that they wanted to have to this point, but I think there's a good number of very talented quarterbacks.
What do you think of Dalton, the guy at TCU?
He's a talented guy.
So, I mean, he's a pro caliber quarterback?
Yes, he is.
Enderle, the big tall guy at Idaho, is he having any kind of a year? I haven't kept up with him.
Yeah, he had a tremendous season last year, and he's having another good season. He's got an NFL skill set.
About maybe the most intriguing college guy is Kellen Moore. He's a little guy, but he always seems to win, always puts up numbers.
Well, I think a guy like Drew Brees will help his cause.
Mm-hmm. Oh, his guy, Kellen Moore, is 5'9", isn't he? Wait a minute now.
I'm not, Vic.
You can't compare him to Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a...
Don't look at me. The general manager just compared him to Drew Brees.
He's just playing games with you. Kellen Moore, he's a midget.
How about the kid in at Nevada, Kaepernick?
He's got some Vince Young to him. You know, he can make a lot of plays with his feet. People may critique his, you know, release like they really analyzed on Vince coming out. But he's doing a good job leading that team, and that program's had tremendous success.
How about Pryor? Should he come out this year or stay in? He's starting to make some progress now as a passer, right?
Yeah, I don't comment, in terms of whether a guy should come out or not.
Okay.
When you're talking about an underclassman.
Well, what if he did come out?
I know you're throwing some names out there of some guys who are underclassmen, but, I mean, I do think he has some talent. He certainly needs to do some things to refine some of the areas, but I think he's done that over the last few years.
Hold on a second. The guy at Delaware, Devlin, is he a prospect?
Yeah, he's a guy that is a draft-eligible senior that we are evaluating. Mm-hmm.
There was a Facebook entry who just had a simple question of, what do you look for in a college quarterback?
Well, the ability to lead. I think that's a big one. You want to have a football brain, somebody that's a gym rat, somebody that's mentally tough, someone that is poised. I like to see if the quarterback can elevate the talent around him. And
Cam Newton, I forgot all about him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
What do you think of him? I mean, he's just come out of nowhere.
Well, we had his brother here, Cecil.
Yeah, that's right. Cecil wasn't built like a quarterback.
You know, he's having a great year. And, again, he's an underclassman. And, I don't know what some of these guys are going to do. I know they're names that I get asked about a lot. I mean, I know they'll work with their head coaches and the college advisory committee and see what is the best decision for them. I like the players who are goal-oriented and working towards their degree. And we like guys, too, that have their degree when they come to this level. We've been fortunate with the guys we brought in here the last couple of years. They either have their degree or they're a semester away.
You know, so, you've only passed on one guy in the last 2 years that is having any kind of impact as a quarterback in the NFL, Josh Freeman, the only guy. I don't know how many have been drafted, 20? Of all the guys have been drafted, signed as undrafted free agents that were available to you, there's only one guy who's doing anything, and that's Freeman.
He's doing a tremendous job for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think he's probably the biggest reason why they're winning.
He's made a bunch of comeback wins a part of that thing as well. And, hey, I didn't think we'd continue this trend of the last place team from the year before winning the NFC South, but it might be in the cards again this year.
Well, I think the Bucs are playing the schedule the Jaguars played last year. That's my opinion, but I think that's a part of it too.
Well, got it. You can only beat the teams they put in front of you, right?
Yeah, I know, but it helps to have a soft schedule.
And well, there again is Vic Ketchum poo-pooing any sort of.
You can tell me last year's schedule wasn't soft.
I'm just saying. I'm telling you that their NFL teams, you still got to beat them.
Oh, okay, Coach.
You still got to beat them. All right, for Vic Ketchman, who will have another week, bye week off, weekend off to develop some more opinions, and the general manager, Gene Smith, for producer Joe Fortunato, executive producer Cole Pepper, saying thanks for listening. Jack Del Rio show tomorrow night at 6. Wednesday night, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna at 6 o'clock as well. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudduth, and good night from Jaguar Central.